It is a great day to celebrate Mother's Day in this fashion, but I want to emphasize again, not only just mothers, but every woman that has played a role in the church in nurturing the faith of our children, whether that is in the nursery, Sunday school, Kids Connect, Awanas Summit, youth group, anywhere that you ladies have touched some child, just coming in contact with them in the hallway and encouraged them and nurtured them. This, what we do today, is all a testament to you and your faithfulness. So, Tim, if you have Haley's video, go ahead and run it there.
Hi, I'm Haley Murphy, and I'm 6.
Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Why do you want to be baptized?
To show the people around me that I have took Jesus and God into my heart.
Is there anyone that you want to thank for helping you on your faith journey?
Jesus and God.
All right, Haley, come on down. I will not even begin to tell you that she is excited. All right. Okay, stand up on that bench. Face your mom, remember? So, are you ready? All right. Haley, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes,
upon that pronouncement of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning, during our message, we'll have a time where we talk about the most peaceful place on earth to be is smack dab in the middle of God's will. And the number one way that you can do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior as Haley does, then we just pray that you would be touched and that you would be moved today to be obedient. Secure your eternal destiny and turn your lives over to Jesus. Let him lead you and guide you, and then be obedient in baptism. Baptism in and of itself does not get you eternal life, but the decision that you make in your heart is the most important thing. So as we sing, I'll stay here for a little bit. We'll give you another opportunity at the end of worship today to make that decision for Jesus. Vincent?
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat.
All right, children. Come on up. Squeeze in, get up around. All right, while you guys are making your way up here, let me ask you a question. You know what holiday it is today? It is National Pet Rock Day, right? No. What day is it?
Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day? I thought it was National Pet Rock Day. I'm weird. Yes, I am. I know that. Did you give your moms a card?
Yeah.
Did you? Did you tell your mom you loved her?
Yeah,
you know, moms like to hear that we love them, but you know what they probably like better? If you show them that you love them. So what are some ways that you can show your mom that you love her? Listening to her.
Help.
Helping without being asked. Do the dishes.
Do chores.
What else? What's that? Don't argue. Who else?
Feed the dog.
Yeah. You do that every day? Well, those are some things that we can do to show that we love. Do you think God loves us to hear us say we love you, God? Think he loves that? You know what he would like better, though?
Show him
that we love him. How do we do that?
Pray to him.
What's that?
Obeying him?
Praying to him? What other ways can we show God that we love him? Be kind to others, yes. Believe in your heart. Telling people about Jesus. Praising him. Anybody else got one?
Reading the Bible.
Praying a lot every day. Is that what you're going to go? Where are you going? Do what? How can we show God we love him? Can you raise your hand?
What's that?
Sing to him? Awesome. One more. Going to church. Yeah, that's what God would love for us to show. Look up at the screen if you want to look behind me or in back there. You can see it says God showed his love to us as he sent his one and only son so that the world might be saved through him. That's how much he loves us. He showed us his love by sending his perfect son to die for us. And so we need to show other people, not just all of us, right? Not just us church people, but everybody. Do you have some friends that don't go to church? Yeah, so we love them. Do you have some people at school or in your neighborhood that are hard to get along with? Yeah, well, God says we got to love them too. That's how they might come to know Jesus, because we love them. So it's one thing to say that we love somebody, but it's another thing to do. All right, so always remember, the best way to show God that you love people is to be a servant. The best way to show your mom that you love her is to what? Serve her. Right? Not just today, but every day. All right? Okay, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for, again, the children here. Thank you for their families that brought them, and especially the ladies, the women in their life who have played that nurturing role in their faith life as they grow up. We pray that you would bless each and every woman in our church for the role that they've taken, and ask that you would watch over them, bless their hearts in a mighty way. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, you guys are off to Kids Connect. What's up, preacher? All right, before we move on to the sermon, this is also, we are nearing graduation week. And so we want to take this Sunday to recognize our graduates. We had graduate breakfast for our graduates and their families this morning during the Sunday school hour. And so we have some gifts to give out to our high school graduates. So if you're here, please come forward. Braxton Hubbard, Colin Heiser, Corbin was already here, Emily Gage, Presnell, Cassidy was already here, Sadie, Easton is sitting over there, Emma Krause, we got Brian. You hanging out here today? All right, he's back there. All right. Those are our high school graduates this year. Miles and Aaron Barber, Hannah Albright, and Drake. Drake will be here later this summer. He's going to be our summer intern. He's just graduated from College, Boys College, and will be going to Midwestern Seminary. Jared Regeer was also at First Service. He just got his law degree and is now studying and cramming for the board. So keep them all in your prayers as they seek God's guidance for what's next in their life. I know they probably have some plans, but let's make sure that they're smack dab in the middle of God's plans. So it is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day again, not just to those who are our mothers, but to every woman in the church who has played even any kind of role in the nurturing of our children. That's a very important part of what you do. It's a bittersweet day for some, like for my family. This is our first Mother's Day without our mother, and it is many of you know that feeling as well. So again, thank you for serving, teaching, wherever it might be in our church family, and we pray that God would bless you for that. We started a new series last week called Divine Design. It's about God's idea for family and what that is supposed to look like. We talked about that unless the Lord builds the home in Psalm 127. And so if he's the cornerstone, great, we've got our foundation. Now we need to move up and we need to begin to look at the framework. What is it that is that surrounds our home and helps it to be there? Well, every home begins with a frame, the skeleton of the house. If that frame is strong, then everything else follows suit. If that framework is weak, it will not be long before walls start to crack, floors start to creak, doors are hard to shut because the walls have shifted, countertops become unlevel, and so we can see that it's very important that we have a very good skeleton, a very good framework for our house. Now, most of you are probably HGTV generation people, but there used to be in the old days on a show called This Old House. Anybody ever remember that? This old house? Yeah. So the old, like, people my age are all raising their hands. Tom Silva was the contractor in that, and this is what he says. He says, shortcuts in framing are the biggest mistake you can make. Although it may take 4 or 5 years before the sagging, the bouncing, and the movement start to show up, it will eventually show up. I want to let you know that the framework for our divine designed home is a wise woman. Proverbs tells us that it is a wise woman. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And I think that's very important for mothers, okay, those of you who are working with children, speak wisdom and faithful instruction. I know my mom taught me quite a bit. My dad, again, was in the Air Force, and so there would be periods of time where he might be gone 3-4 weeks, even twice for a year at a time, and so my mother was a great influence. And here are some things she taught me. I imagine your mom's probably taught you similar things. My mom taught me a lot about religion. She would often tell me, you better pray that comes out of the carpet, young man. And as we've talked about before, one of my shortcomings is a lack of patience, and she used to work on that quite a bit. She would say, yeah, you can do that when you're 18 and out of my house. Or she would talk about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Anticipation about waiting for good things. She would say, you just wait till your father gets home. Maybe your dad used this line more than your mom, but my mom taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Or humor. She always taught us about humor. If that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. And this one, everybody's mom. Dads don't say this. Moms do. About planning ahead. If you're going out over the weekend, you better take a clean pair of underwear in case you have an accident. Most importantly, though, I think what my mom taught me was love. You know, whatever you do, whatever happens, she would say, I'll be there for you because I love you. And that's the great thing about moms. And so in Scripture today, we have a great example of wise women. In fact, two wise women to be exact in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Those two wise women are Lois and Eunice. The child that they influenced is a young man named Timothy, who went on to write a couple of our letters in the Bible. Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. In other words, Timothy, what your grandmother and your mom taught you, it's still there. So they were wise women indeed. And so wise women are this foundational piece of the home that we want to talk about, especially the divinely designed home, because wise women are important and they're very much needed. In fact, I believe that women play such a vital role in the home that that's why Satan attacked Eve first, because he knew that the importance of that link. And so ever since then, God's divine design for family and home has been under attack. Even in our country, and around the world, motherhood is often seen as like a social conscience. It's also seen as like a symbol of righteousness and a symbol of concern. And so when we downplay or degrade the role of mothers in our society, I think what we have is a society that tends to fall towards illness or to be sick. So God created this great need for mothers in the structure of our society. He again knew the role that they would have to play. Even more so in today's world, where the mother may be the only parental influence that many homes have, especially in our Western culture today. David Blackenhorn, who is the author of Fatherless America, says that because of rampant out-of-wedlock pregnancy and divorce in the United States, before they reach the age of 18, more than half of our nation's children are likely to spend at least a significant portion of their childhoods living apart from their fathers. Leaves a huge void in a child's life. So a mother is needed by her children. Most children have this great sense of pride in their parents, but not always do they live up to our expectations. Mothers don't always live up to our expectations. Sometimes our mothers grow through hardships and struggles that preventing them from being everything that we want them to be or need them to be in our life. No parent is perfect, but a mother owes it to herself and to her children to strive to be a model of faith and goodness for her children. A mother is needed by her husband as well. Her husband needs help in raising the children. The task of raising a child is best done when there are two parents, not just a single parent, but two parents in the home. Child Trends Data Bank says that where both parents are actively involved in the rearing of children, they have higher academic performance, a greater level of social achievement, and a higher level of psychological adjustment. But there's one caveat that came up in the study, is that holds true in a home where there is no conflict, where husband and wife are actually a team in raising their children, and it's not left to one or the other. Stress is a huge toxin in a family. It can take away from all that we're trying to do, not only mentally, emotionally, and psychologically, but physically as well. The other need for a mother is in the church. The church has a tremendous dependency on mothers. And again, as we look around our country today and we see that there are significant numbers of fathers not in the home or even in church, it places more of a burden on our women to fulfill those roles. Often they are the ones that are teaching biblical truths to their children and to their family and to their friends. Her time and talents are used in a multifunctional way in church. And the hope is that her children watch her and see her serving in all of these capacities. Now, a mother has to have some needs in order to fulfill this role that has been placed on her. It's not an easy role. It's a hard, difficult role to take. Many factors outside the home are fighting today in our culture to influence children. You see, in our children's ministry, one of our statements is that if we don't reach our children, or if we don't fight to reach our children, culture will reach them. So first important thing, a mother needs to have society on her mind. She needs to be aware of what's going on in our culture, because our children are not with us 24/7. They are out into the world. Increase in violence on TV, increase in sexual activity, increase in language, that is rampant on TV. Those things all lead us to experience more violence with our children, hasten sexual activity, which is never a good thing. Mainstream music, TV shows all trend to push kids towards early sexual activity. It's important for you mothers to be aware of what your children are facing when they're out in culture. Please don't hide your heads in the sand and say you don't want to know about it. But it's also important for you to be aware of the good things that are going on in our culture so that you can look at your children and go, hey, now here's an example of how it should be done. Here's an example of somebody who is being faithful. Here's an example of somebody that is doing it the right way. It's important that we have a complete picture of what is going on in society. A mother needs to have God in her heart. If she doesn't, then she deals with guilt of the way that things have been going in the family, or doesn't understand forgiveness of the Lord. That can become a barrier to children. She can actually become like a ghost and not be there present for her children. It's important that she guide her children in everything towards Christ and his work on the cross, that they have an understanding of eternal life. That's why we celebrate baptisms. Again, you heard me say in the baptismal that the best place to be, the most peaceful place to be on earth, is in the center of God's will. Dick and Melissa and I recently went down to Dallas to a conference, and whenever I get into big cities like that where there's lots of traffic, I usually tend to stay in a certain lane. When you get into a big city with lots of traffic, what lane do you tend to stay in? Middle. I tend to stay in the middle. If I stay in the right-hand lane and all of a sudden there's a lot of traffic and I'm forced to get off someplace I don't want to get off, now I have to backtrack or I have to try to find another route. I'm out of where I want to be. If I stay in the left-hand lane, same thing. What happens to me, because I've already told you that I don't speed, I get those guys coming up behind me flashing their lights. It's like I'm back in Germany again. Get out of the way. So being in the center lane is the best place to be, because then I have time to move where I need to go. So mothers, the best place for you to be is smack dab in the middle of God's will. It is the most peaceful place to be. Step out of it, and you can find yourself trapped someplace that you don't want to be. Again, you've heard me mention that in this country today, there is a void of men in church and men in homes. But a mother needs to have a husband by her side. She needs the true friendship and the partnership of her husband. It is between them they work side by side to make the home, a divinely designed home, a place of love and a place for children to feel safe and secure, not only physically or financially, but spiritually as well. One of the most important things that we can do for a divinely designed home. A mother also needs, young ones, listen up, a mother needs to have her children under her guidance. The Bible says that you are to obey your mother and your father so that it will go well with you. It is the only of the Ten Commandments that says the benefit. And so your mother, if she is to fulfill her role, needs your help as well. She needs you to listen to her and to love her and obey her. If you're a rebellious child, you will force her either into premature grave or premature grave. So a mother needs you to be under her guidance. So mothers, your basic needs are for God, a yielded spirit that you're in the middle of His will, a loving heart from your husband to walk this journey along with you, and then the obedient mind of your children. But even though this is a difficult role, God has certain expectations of you as well. First and foremost, God expects you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is very difficult to be in the center of God's will if He is not the Lord of your life. If you're not allowing Him to lead you and to guide you, it is very difficult to be where He wants you to be. And so we need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The second thing that God needs from you is to seek internal godliness rather than dwell on your external beauty. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, women are to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Now, I just want to be absolutely clear here. I don't think Paul is telling you not to worry about how you look. Paul doesn't not want you to skip your shower. He doesn't want you not to shave your legs. He doesn't not want you to wear makeup or do those kind of things. But there used to be a 21st and Webb Road in Wichita, this really beautiful house that sat on the northwest corner. And I would drive by. It had great cedar siding, these beautiful stone corners, a well-landscaped yard. And I would drive by that house and go, man, I just want to go up there and knock on the door and get a tour. You know what's inside that? It was a pump house. It was a pump house for that area of town. But because the homes were $300,000 and $400,000 homes, they didn't want just a regular concrete building. They built this beautiful exterior, and on the interior was this ugly concrete and pipes. And I think this is what God wants. God is not saying don't pay attention to your exterior, but do not pay attention to it to the exclusion of your spiritual internal godliness. Think of this church. We think of this as a beautiful church, but what happens if it just sat here empty and nothing ever went on during the course of the week? Wouldn't be of much value. And so, is it good to pay attention to your devotion and your hygiene? Yes, it's your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But don't skip prayer. Don't skip time in God's Word. Don't skip time in worship to the extent that you put it into your physical appearance, right? And then most importantly, don't neglect the most important partner you have in this journey, this role that you have, and that is God. I think the next thing that God expects from you mothers is to spend time with your children. But as for you, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Because Eunice and Lois were wise women, Timothy has made a wise decision towards salvation. Haley has made a wise decision this morning towards salvation by being obedient. And so I think if we look back at our time together this morning and remember that Timothy learned this faith from his grandparents and his mother,
And now Paul says, look, continue in that faith. The Bible tells us that there was only one person who was out without sin. So I imagine somewhere in Timothy's life, a little bit of a rebellious streak or a wild streak probably came up where he didn't exactly walk with the Lord. And that's maybe why Paul is saying, hey, look, remember, train up a child in the way that he will go and he'll always return to it. So here, continue, Timothy, in what you're doing. Susanna Westlake had 19 children. 9 of them died as infants, and so she raised 9 children. Her husband Samuel was a pastor, and things were usually a little tough economically. History said that Samuel wasn't a very good financial person anyway, but he was also often gone for extended periods of time. And so Susanna was left to raise children quite a bit on her own. Well, Susanna Westlake started a school for her kids. Rigorous academics, intense academics, but never at the expense of their religious education. She said she started the school for the salvation of her children's souls. 10 kids, and each week she scheduled a 1-hour appointment with each child. Now, best of my knowledge, none of you in here have 10 kids. Two or three, maybe 4. But she spent an hour with each child. I don't know how she found time, what were the other 9 doing during that time? But what if you could take an hour each week and spend that time one-on-one with a child, getting to know their heart a little bit better, get to know what's going on with them in their life. 2 of Susanna's children went on to be very well-known people. John was the founder of what we know to be the Methodist denomination today. Charles, one of the other sons, wrote over 5,000 hymns, including Hark the Herald Angel. So mothers, spend time with your children. Spend that time with them rather than letting the digital age spend time with them. New studies are showing that our kids are spending more time on digital devices like cell phones and tablets and computers than they do TV. Average child is now spending about 8 hours and 41 minutes a day on electronic devices. That's 20 minutes more than the average amount of sleep a person gets in a day. What they're finding out, this leads to an increased disconnect between parents. I thought I had a picture of Madonna up there. Maybe I missed it. But Madonna came out this past week and said that she wished she hadn't given all of her kids cell phones at 13 years of age. She gave them earlier than that. Her last son at home will not get one until he's 13 because she said it ruined her relationship with her children. They're showing that children will turn to the internet for advice before going to their parents nowadays, which opens up a whole world of danger. Be aware of society. Cut down on some of the digital time and spend it with your children. Proverbs 14:1, ladies, gives us some very wise advice. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. And I imagine when Solomon wrote this, he might have been thinking back to that time in the Garden of Eden, where Eve reached up and pulled down that piece of fruit off of the tree. And from that moment on, wise women have had to struggle. So I think Solomon understood what was going on. He points to a wiser way. God surely has his best interest in heart in the divine design for the family. If a woman is wise, she understands that her family and society need her, because this is the role that God has determined for you. If a woman is wise, she understands that she has needs that need to be met to do her job successfully. She needs to strive to meet the expectations that God has for her, including accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior and putting appropriate attention into her internal godliness to go along with her physical beauty. And if a woman is wise, she will invest time in her family. You know, this morning, if you've been building your home as a wise woman on the foundation of Jesus Christ as cornerstone, continue. Continue to do that. Continue to be a wise woman and make a great framework, a great skeleton for your home. If your foundation is a little shaky right now, again, check to see what you're building on. Is it a cultural design for your home, or is it a divine design for your home with Jesus as the cornerstone? Remember, it's never too late to remodel, to do a change order when you're building, to add on to your home, to strengthen the base. So if you're not building today your home with the divine design in mind, not building a home with the Lord as the cornerstone and a wise woman as the structural framework, maybe today is the time to say, look, I need to do things different. Maybe today is the day that I need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and to begin to work on that relationship and how it'll affect my home. It's the most important relationship you have. As I do premarital counseling, I tell my married, these young couples, no matter what you do, the relationship with God is the most important relationship you have in your home. The closer that you both draw to God, the closer you actually come together in purpose and in God's will. And that is what a wise woman does and makes for a great framework, a great structural part for a home. Let's build our homes with Jesus as the cornerstone, the foundation, and then start with God's best framing materials, which is a wise woman. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you again for this day in which we take time to honor our mothers and those women in our church who have been instrumental in helping to nurture the faith of our children. We pray today that you would bless them in a mighty way, but help us to understand that it's not just one day out of the year that we need to honor our mothers, but continually as we go through life. We pray that you would watch over us and guide us, that we build our homes, or we continue to build our homes on the framework of a wise woman with Jesus as the cornerstone, that all would be well with us as we move forward. We pray, Lord, for those today who are here that have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Pray that we could help them find the peace of being smack dab in His will by explaining who we are as sinners and understanding our need for a Savior. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would turn to your neighbor, come down to the front and visit with me or meet me in the library. I'd love to share more with you about Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, bless us, watch over us, and keep us. Pray that you would help us not only in our physical homes, our nuclear families, be smack dab in the middle of your will, but that as First Baptist Church family, that we would do all we can to do the same, that we would have peace and be in the middle of your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.